We are rocking and rolling. Hi, welcome to the chill.
Really? Are we rolling? We're rolling.
We're on ecstasy. It's in both of our drinks. I am here. This is Chelsea Skidmore. This is the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I am here with close friend Nicole, Amy Schreiber, comedian, reoccurring podcast guest. Nicole?
Oh my gosh, I'm a reoccurring pod. This is my second time.
It's your second appearance.
I'm also a reoccurring character in
my life.
Oh yeah, I did drop in on a show. I'm a reoccurring character in your life.
Yeah. You know what I was actually
I met Chelsea in a writing class, and she walked in and I was like, oh, fucking hot girl. Her manager probably told her she needed to take a writing class. She's gonna suck. And then she was really good. I was like, oh, she's not just a pretty face.
Thank you. You know what's so funny is that I'm wearing this red lipstick. And I keep thinking it's all over my teeth. Do you ever have that fear when you put lipstick on that you're going to look like a meth head?
Chelsea, I look like a meth head anyways. I don't wear lipstick.
Yeah. You look great though.
I hate it. It is one of those things. Thank you so much. It's one of those things that I have never, ever enjoyed.
Really?
I realize it looks good. It looks pretty, but I can't. It makes me so uncomfortable to like have... If it's a matte lipstick, I feel like my lips are drying out. If it's like a juicy one, I feel like everything's sticking to it. So it's like, the thing I like, I just like a good, like a tinted chapstick, you know?
Yeah, I think you hit all of the thoughts that go through my head as well with lipstick. Or I think it's on my teeth because everything happens to get on my teeth because they're so fucking big.
You do not have big teeth.
I feel like I have horse teeth. I've had an overbite my whole life. Look at my teeth.
That doesn't mean you have...
They're big.
Chelsea, there's nothing about your teeth. No, they're not.
Oh my God, really?
Like, if I was going to criticize your looks for anything, it would not be your teeth.
What would it be? Careful.
Your hair looks really dried out right
now. Wait, the last time my hair my hairstylist did my hair, he said that my hair was dry. Does my hair look really dry?
Your hair looks dry, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
So you might not have horse teeth, but you have horse hair.
You're going to have to brush my tail.
Oh my, I'll brush it tonight on our social distance
walk.
I know,
you know what's so funny what I thought of? If you don't let me.
I mean, by the way, mine is repulsive too.
It's naughty. You look at this. Pippi Longstocking hair. You look like you're in a horse. You look like you're on a horse all day. Remember Pippi Longstocking?
Yes, I do. I look like I've been out in the wild cantering.
Cantering? What is that?
It's a speed the horse goes. There's trotting, cantering, galloping.
I'm already sweating.
There's walking, trotting, cantering, galloping.
Did you horseback ride a lot growing up?
Yeah. Was I a horse girl at one point in my life? Absolutely.
I can see it, actually.
And then I got thrown off a horse, and that was the end of it.
Did you get injured?
Yeah.
How old?
No, I was okay, but it was very scary. I was probably 9, maybe.
That's scary.
But it was a pretty big horse, so I had a long way to go. But I wasn't, it's not like I was on the horse, like doing anything. It's just like all of the horses were like in a row and we were kind of all going out into the corral. And the horse in front of my horse, like backed up into my horse. And my horse was like, nah, just went up on its hind legs. And I was just like, the horse wasn't trying to throw me off. I just flew off and then hit the ground. And it was like, I hit the ground on like a deep dirt kind of area that had a lot of hay. So it didn't really hurt, but it was definitely one of those things where I was like, these animals are unpredictable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this again. They're very unpredictable.
I feel that I like the idea of horseback riding. I've always been attracted to something about it, but then once I'm on it, I feel complete loss of control. It's similar to when you get on a plane. You're like, I'm not the one in charge. I'm not the one flying. Like, can the horse be in charge? Can the pilot be in charge? It's a scary feeling.
I'm way more okay with the pilot being in charge because I can speak English to the pilot.
And the horse didn't go to school.
That's why it's the horse. So uneducated. Oh, there's nothing more unattractive than an uneducated horse. It's one of those things, every time I watch Whitney Cummings doing her like horse shit, where she's like out in the corral with her horse and like she'll be like up and then her horse will go up on its hind legs. I'm like, don't trust it. Run.
I know.
It's scary. Yeah. It's I mean, they're fucking they huge. Are.
I know. I've always had that too. Or when you're on it, you're like, how do I know he's not going to just all of a sudden get psycho and like just throw me off? Yeah. And start,
You don't, you know, I grew up with I went to this like horseback riding camp with, I went with a lot of girls who ended up continuing going on. And, you know, those were like my serious horse girlfriends. And one of my friends, so funny, who she's the reason I knew Whitney in high school, was this girl, Tracy Harnish. And Tracy's like, she's still one of my closest friends. She still rides horses, but she was like the ultimate horse girl. And she knew how to ride a horse bareback and like gallop on a horse bareback. And then she could do this thing where she could stand on a horse and hold the horse's mane like while it was moving and be
that's
fine.
That's fantastical.
Yeah.
That's like something you that see in a period like, piece movie of like Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan being wooed by a guy who can ride a stallion bareback just holding its mane. I mean, it really is. I remember seeing it when I was like, I think she did it probably the first time I was like 16, 15, I saw her do it. She was unreal. It was unbelievable. I was just in
That's
awe.
That's incredible.
It was truly incredible. Really, she was just like such a gifted rider. And
that really makes the people in Central Park rollerblading backwards look like dicks.
Like dicks.
Like compared to that,
the
like
biggest
can you
dicks. Like, oh, you loser. Oh yeah, you can roller skate a rollerblade backwards.
Ooh, you went
can
around
you
a
fucking
cone?
Ride a stallion?
Yeah. Ooh, you went backwards or twisted around a cone?
Dude, have you ever watched dressage, the horses where they make the horses like dance?
No.
Oh my God, you have to watch dressage. It's horse dancing.
What is
dancing.
It called?
You teach a horse dressage.
What's the? I can't tell what the spelling is.
D-R-I-S-A-G-E.
I couldn't. You
dressage.
Were like mumbling. So I couldn't quite.
Dressage. Dressage.
It's a spelling bee now.
Dressage. But it is one of the most wild things to watch. Cause these people, like you can teach the horse how to like lift one foot and like put them down at like different paces. And then they can like sidestep too. It's the most ridiculous. Whoever came up with that, I was like, how bored were you? That you were like, you know what would be really great is if we made this horse go sideways.
That's incredible.
In rhythm.
I mean, it sounds.
Oh, it is unbelievable.
What
to
country
see.
Is that?
And then they braid the horse's mane.
Get it.
Oh, it's such
make
an American thing. Probably the British too. I feel like the British and Americans are like, let's make the ponies dance.
What? That was not a British accent.
Let's make the ponies dance.
Let's make the ponies dance.
I was trying to
dance.
Do an accent of like a stuck
no,
up
that,
person.
Yeah.
Hello, love. Can you make the pony dance?
Let's make.
By the way, to get into a British accent, I have to say hello, love.
Hello, love.
Governor. Hello, how are you? Hello, my name's Nicole.
Hello, can you?
That's how I get into a British accent. Hello,
look,
love.
Look, after a spot of tea, I would love for you to make the horses dance.
A spot?
A spot of tea. I would love for the horses to dance.
Can you have her do some dressage? Some dressage.
The, no, the dressage, please. You know?
and now, after this spot of tea, and high tea. Oh, it's high tea. And then the dressage.
I just want everyone who's listening to know Nicole and I don't act like this when we're hanging out.
Not at all. But I feel like this dressage sounds like a combination of dressing and massage. It's a dressing massage.
Dressage. Before we get further, Nicole, I want to quickly talk to you.
We do act like this sometimes, no, Chelsea.
You know what else I thought of? If you
usually I'm too depressed to act like this. But
if
yeah.
If you don't let me get a picture with you tonight to promote this episode, we're gonna have to use that same photo that we've been for some reason multiple posting of you, me, and Stacia together. Like it's the only photo we ever had from like for the rest of time. Because, like, have you noticed that we've reposted that, like, three times for some weird reason? Wait, yeah, so would it be funny, though, if that's the only photo I ever get again of us? So I'm just constantly reposting this one.
And next time you just Photoshop a mask on it? Because we wear masks when we hang out. So we're doing a social distance walk, listeners. Just so you know, we're doing a social distance masked walk tonight in Venice.
Wait, I love how you're trying to pick somewhere else because Venice is so disgusting.
I wasn't trying to pick it. Oh. Ian Edwards was like, yo, if you're going to go walking, why don't you check out Hermosa Beach? It's really great. You won't have to walk through like Tent City. You know, it's like rich white people of Hermosa have just like pushed all of the homeless out.
How did they do that?
I don't know. Tax dollars? That's what they're
Venice
using
is out of control. It's uncomfortable. It's a little scary. Like, just it when is. I think, like, I've seen it all, a guy on a skateboard wearing a devil mask is going to ride by, which is something I actually saw.
Yeah, and then a guy rollerblading backwards with a devil mask. You're like, get back to
it's
Central
like, where
Park!
Where are all the horses?
By the way, if we get to Venice Beach tonight and there's a fucking horse, I will lose it.
I will fall to the floor. Before we continue,
And then I'll ask to ride the horse.
Before we continue, can we talk about Magic Spoon, the sponsor of my podcast?
No, let's actually talk about Magic Spoon because every time you post about it, it makes me hungry and I want to eat the cereal.
It's actually really, really good.
Tell me about it, Chelsea.
Well, what was your favorite cereal growing up? Are you a cereal person?
Oh, the biggest cereal person. Huge cereal person. That's why every time you post about it, I'm like, I love cereal. I mean, obviously the OGs are, you know, Cinnamon Toast
That's
Crunch.
My favorite.
Absolutely love. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Puffs, whatever they are. I call them Reese Poofs. Those were a favorite.
Clean my screen.
It was one of those things where my brother and I were so hyperactive, so we weren't allowed to have...
have any sugar cereal?
We were so hyper, they didn't allow us to have sugared cereal. But what we would do is we would get like... Special K was one of my favorites because it didn't get... It maintained its crunchiness, even though it got a little bit of soggy, because I liked the crunch soggy ratio is very important to me. And the Special K held it well. Rice Krispies got too soggy too quick. But I would put brown sugar on my cereal. When my mom was like, Nikki, no more sugar, I'd be like, brown sugar.
You know what's so...
So that was...
What really stands out to me about Magic Spoon is that, first of all, there's zero sugar in it. So... It's funny because it's like the box has pictures of cartoons on it. So like immediately for some reason that excites me and makes me feel like a kid. Like this is a kid cereal for adults.
Every time I see the box, I'm like, oh, this is they're marketing towards kiddies.
Packaging is everything. Like I'm not going to reach for a boring box everything. Of cereal. I want a colorful box. I want a fun box. Then I was... really surprised to see that it has 0 grams of sugar because I was wondering what is that going to taste like, and it actually tastes really good and it's really fun to snack.
What are they sweetening it with? Stevia?
I think it's monk fruit extract.
Oh yeah that's good. I like
but
that.
But there's a lot of the ingredients, you can see the ingredient list on their website, but it's all good stuff. Let me hit you.
Here's what I know about it is there's a ton of protein.
Yeah, there's 11 grams of protein.
That's like the number one thing I know about.
Let me
it.
Hit you with some facts. 0 grams of sugar.
Hit me.
0 grams of sugar.
Okay.
11 grams of protein. 3 net grams of carbs in each serving.
Oh, so if you're keto, you could eat the
it's
cereal.
It's keto friendly. It's gluten free. Yeah. It's grain free.
Good.
And there's
dairy free.
There's I think there's milk protein something in it. Okay. You'd have to look it up. It's soy free.
Milk protein. I actually don't think milk protein is considered dairy.
Look on the ingredient list for that. I got the variety box, which is 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. I love cocoa and frosted the most. I've been snacking on those. I'm just drawn to those. Steven has eaten all of the fruity, so it's up for me to try blueberry next. And I also want to make a point to say, if you go to magicspoon.com/Chelsea and grab a variety pack to try today, you can use the promo code Chelsea at checkout to save $5 off your order. So magicspoon.com/Chelsea, Chelsea at checkout for $5 off. Another great thing about them is that if you order a cereal off their website, you get it and you don't love it, they will give you a refund. You don't have to send it back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't have to send it back. There's no questions asked. But they're super confident in their products, so even more of a chance to try it. They have a bunch of other flavors you could check out on their website. I've just tried the variety pack, so that's what I'm loving. And also, it's really great for right now because you can order it online. It comes directly to your door, and you don't have to worry about waiting on lines at the supermarket or anything like that. So definitely check it out. I know all my friends have been asking me about it, so I'm excited to share it with you guys because it's really, really good. It's delicious. It's healthy. I have been putting piles of it in my t-shirt and eating it out of my t-shirt to snack on it that way.
What?
Instead of putting it in a bowl.
Putting it in your t-shirt? What are you, stuffing your bra?
No, I'm grabbing.
With magic spoon?
I'm grabbing a handful of it and then I'm sitting down at, at my desk to write and eating it out of my shirt, like a little bowl of my shirt. It must be something I did
because
it feels fun. It feels like I'm a kid. So
okay, it feels like an activity. Okay,
thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast, guys. Check it out, magicspoon.com/Chelsea. Use the code Chelsea to save $5 off. Nicole, back to you.
Can you do me a favor, please, tonight for our social distance walk? Can you please just bring a baggie of the Magic Spoon cereal?
Yeah, I will.
So I. As you know, I do personal organizing as one of my side hustles because comedy doesn't pay the bills
anymore. One of the things I want to get into in this episode.
Is my personal organizing? Okay, we'll get into it. So I recently did a job for a very successful actress and she had a, you know, huge kitchen, but then she also had a, like a second like dry food storage area and another bedroom was just a closet full of dry food storage. No exaggeration, I think she had 20 boxes of Magic Spoon cereal.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you, how good is
this? So let's eat it.
You know, and it's she, so when she, when quarantine started, she was like, this is my favorite cereal. I'm not, I don't want to go to the grocery store. So she just bought everything that she could that was non-perishable. She just bought everything in bulk so she wouldn't have to go to the grocery store. And the only thing she had delivered was like produce or whatever. But yeah, she was obsessed with the cereal. She had every single kind of Magic Spoon cereal. And I'm not going to, you know, get into somebody's cereal and eat their food. But I was like very much like, what is this about? Because, you know, if celebrities like it, they're just like us.
I'm going to bring you a box because you're a celeb. So it's time for you to have some.
And then, oh my God, I'm a celebrity.
Celebrities
organizer to the stars.
Cereal.
The star who's an organizer to the stars. Mm-hmm. Celebrities, they're just like
us. Let me ask you this. This is a thing I have. I'm having my housekeeper come over tomorrow. Do you ever have one come over?
Mm-hmm. Every, you know, I probably get a housekeeper every like 2 to 3 months.
Oh, for a good
otherwise,
clean.
I'm pretty OCD. I clean.
Like every other month.
Yeah, I love like a good deep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I want like a deep clean. But usually, it's so funny. Every time my cleaning lady comes over, she's like, "You're very good at cleaning."
Wow,
like, so
I've never been told that.
Yeah, she's always like. Oh yeah, no. Every housekeeper that I've ever had come to my house, because you know, it's like sometimes they like disappear and then you're like, I gotta find someone new. But they're always like, you're outstanding at cleaning. And I was like, thank you.
What's the PC term?
That OCD is good for something.
Maid is not a PC term, is it?
I honestly don't even think that's not PC. It just sounds cheesy. Like a housekeeper to me, a maid is very like 1940s. The maid is coming over.
Like, does she have a uniform? No, a housekeeper though sounds like live-in job.
Okay, so a housekeeper sounds like you're rich. You need someone to keep your house. Like Cody and Dan have a housekeeper. Cody and Dan are friends of ours who have a lot of money. They have a house. They have a person who keeps the house daily.
Ooh. They're always like cleaning the spills in the kitchen.
they're not necessarily even cleaning. They are the housekeeper. They are responsible for bringing in everybody who does something for the house. They keep the house.
What does that mean?
They're like a grounds. It's like she's his assistant and her assistant. She takes care of everything for the house. So she is responsible for bringing in a cleaning lady. Mm. They have a specific cleaning lady who they have her come in twice a week. And then if in the meantime, in between, if anything needs zhuzhing or, cleaning up, the housekeeper does it.
Yeah.
To me, a keeper of a house is like very like, that's a privileged household.
Totally.
That is like a...
And she's running errands they might need. She'll pick up the batteries.
Yes. Yes. So like when I was growing up, we had a housekeeper because both of my parents worked. She didn't like keep the house the way this girl does, but it was like, she was responsible for picking my brother and I up for school. She was responsible for taking us home, doing our homework.
That's a nanny.
And then staying there until but then she also like did shit around the house. I mean, my parents were like literally never home. They both went to work at like 7 a.m. and then came home at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Like I never had parents like take me to school or anything. Like it was just, it was bleak.
We took the bus. Why didn't you take the bus?
Because we lived right down the street and the private school bus is like, I don't know. It just kind of sucked. Went to this like uniformy private school. Anyways, so,
I think.
Yeah. My mom just had the housekeeper take
when us. When I am in a good financial bracket, when I can start spending some cash, I want to have a weekly housekeeper, cleaning lady.
Oh, so do
that's
I.
That's like,
oh.
That's my dream.
That's goals. That is goals.
I dated
weekly
someone.
Housekeeper, especially with our dogs. Our dogs shed so much.
It's
we
out
need
of
a weekly
control.
Housekeeper. Yeah.
I dated someone who had a weekly housekeeper and he was so fucking messy. You know who he is. And he was so messy. He would literally just take off his clothes and throw them on the ground. Like such rich shit. You know what I mean? And he would just leave bowls of like food on his counter and just.
That's disgusting. That is.
He was so. Rich kids are so messy. And he would just wait until she came. And I'm like, she's not going to be here for like 4 days. I'm like, you can't just like. There's like piles of socks in his living
room. I also think that's just like a product of like how you grew up. Like, yeah okay. Did I have a housekeeper who like took me to school and like cleaned the house and whatever? Yeah. But the housekeeper also was like, if I left a bowl out, she'd be like, put the bowl in the sink, rinse it out, put it in the dishwasher. She wasn't like letting my brother and I just like do whatever we wanted. It was like, here's your snack, put it in the sink, throw that away, wash your hands, go upstairs, do your homework. It was like, she was basically our mom.
If I didn't
but
put a-
Now, is I do not leave a dish out ever.
If I didn't
ever.
Put
it
a-
It goes in the sink, you rinse it
if
out.
If I didn't put a dish in the dishwasher and I just put a dish in the sink, my dad literally, I remember he would twist my arm behind my back. And be like, put like physical.
I have so much respect
physical,
for that. Good violence.
Physical
absolutely.
Violence. It's ingrained in me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steven makes such
I do. When people are like child abuse, I'm like, that's not child abuse. That's making sure your kids are
no,
fucking
No, because
raised
it's
right.
like, it was like while I was putting the dish in, it's like he knew if he twisted my arm while it was happening, that would be it traumatically ingrained. Like
a Pavlovian response.
The word. Yes, it was like a Pavlovian response. Why I'm bringing this all up is because I have a cleaning lady coming over tomorrow. And I looked around my place and I'm like, it's so fucking messy. I need to clean before she comes. Like, do you ever?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
clean before the cleaning lady? Yeah.
The pre-clean. Do you do the pre-clean?
When I used to live with Cody, I do. Well, I don't need to because I'm always pre-clean. But Cody, before when Cody lived here, we got the cleaning lady more often because Cody had the money to get the cleaning lady more often. But anytime Cody would get the cleaning lady, she'd be like, all right, I'm going to go to Dan's house. Can you just, make sure the cleaning lady like does her thing, whatever. So I would be there and then she would be like, hey, can you go into my room and just like pick up some stuff? And I'd be like, yeah, because it's like Cody would leave her vibrator out and I'd have to like put Cody's vibrator away. And then while I was in there, I would start like putting other stuff away because I was just like, I don't want the cleaning lady to see this. Like the amount of times our cleaning lady ran into her vibrators and my vibrators, at one point I apologized to her. I was like, I'm so sorry that you had to. It was
you
like a full dildo.
You acknowledged it?
I was like, ugh.
Wait, you've owned, you or Cody has owned a full dildo?
I own it now. A it's dildo. Downstairs. I own a full dildo. Dildo. Do you want me to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my God.
Can we just pause this? You'll pause and resume.
I'll just have to keep talking because my editor, this is a rush.
Okay, I'll be right back. I'm going to get it.
This is a rush episode. There's no time for editing. Nothing will be deleted in this one. I can't believe she has a full dildo. A full dildo to me is something, it's like an urban legend that you heard about your mother having when you were growing up. Like, I actually have never met anyone who has a full dildo. I don't even know what they fucking look like. I'm so nervous to see what she's going to pull out. What's going through my mind is, how big is it going to be? Is it flesh colored? I feel like all dildos are flesh colored. If there's no batteries in it, like, I'm really going to be, I never got the idea of a dildo because I never wanted to stretch.
Okay, so if you post this video on YouTube, you might get flagged for it.
Really? But
I'll show you.
Does it have batteries in it?
No, there's no batteries.
What's the purpose?
Okay, so I'm gonna show you all the toys. I'm gonna show you all the toys. So there's the magic
wand.
We
have that. Okay. I didn't know they made it all in cherry wood.
Yeah. Mahogany. This is the womanizer.
Oh, how is that? Nikki suction. Glaser always talks about it.
It's phenomenal. Is it? It's phenomenal.
Wait, did you buy it or did you get it for free? Did you buy it or get it?
Yeah, I got it for free.
Because they're like $300.
No, my neighbor is a sex toy inventor and he gave it to me.
Wait, I want one of the, can you clean it and let me borrow it? No, I'm kidding.
Absolutely, I don't care. The dildo used to be Cody's and then she
gave
it to me.
That's disgusting.
And then I have three suction dicks.
Have you ever used that for the shower? Yeah. How horny are you?
So it sticks. I'm a horny gal.
Wait, that's in case you want to fuck your...
Bill used to use these more than me.
That's in case...
Bill, this was Bill's favorite. Wow.
Wait, that's in case you want to back...
That's in case you want to fuck in the shower or whatever.
But you back up into that.
They're super flimsy.
Wait, he would back up into that with his asshole?
Or lower down onto it. He would... Oh, yeah. He would just throw it in there. And then this is the whole full dildy with a suction cup as well. So you can, you know.
Okay. When you were gone, I was wondering if it was going to be flesh colored.
It has balls.
Why? Balls. Okay. Why do you have that? Because my thought is like, why stretch yourself out?
It's not that big. It's not big enough for you to stretch yourself out,
I know, but that was always my fear. My fear was always like, I never want to stick anything in because it's going to stretch it out. I want to wait first. Is that an urban legend?
It's not big enough to do that. That is an urban legend. It's like, this is my favorite combo right here. So this, combo? I just like, it's like putting a car in a parking spot. You got to do the combo. Cause I like some internal stimulation. Yeah. So I just park this one in there and then I use this for the clitoris. Cause some people are, when it comes to orgasms, as you know, or your listeners may know, or you may not know, or your listeners may not know, there's different parts of the vagina that need stimulation. Some people are more into clitoral, some people are more into internal. So it's like, some people are combos. I'm a combo gal.
I'm a clitoral.
You can come from a purely clitoral orgasm.
Only. I will never come from a...
No, I can't.
What would you call it? Vaginal?
Vaginal.
I will never be able... It's like numb. Can't even feel anything in there.
Really? It's just a dead chamber?
Chamber. Never mind. No. It's not completely numb, but it's just... It feels like the purpose is just to have a dick go in and out. But it's not like to gain pleasure from that. Like it feels like vessel.
So like right when the dick goes in, okay. Right when the dick goes inside you, you aren't like, you don't like hold your breath and you're not like,
no,
like, oh, that feels so good. No. Oh, every time I was hooking up with a guy earlier in quarantine and he would always be like, he's like, it's so funny to me. He's like, how excited you get about sex. Cause like right before I have sex, I'm always like, yay, I'm going to have sex.
God.
Cause like the second it goes inside me, I'm like, wee.
Do you actually
this is so
say
fun.
That?
Oh, I'm smiling the whole time. I get so excited. He's like, I've never seen anyone
you
get so excited about sex.
Does that
He's
mean
like,
you don't
every-
have a lot? Like, does that mean it's like every so often so you're excited when you get it? Or have you
every single time I have sex, I get excited.
Okay,
I've
what about when
like
you
this.
Have a boyfriend?
I still like it every
How
single time.
How old were you when you lost your virginity, you fucking dork?
17.
I was 16, so it's not that far off.
Of course you were.
What do you? That's late. 16 is late.
It was the summer before my senior year of high school.
This is like the narrator in a movie. It was the summer before senior year of high school. Wait, tell me your story.
It was the summer before senior year.
I don't know your story. It's always summer.
Oh, so
Isn't it
I
always
was,
summer?
It's always summer. Yeah, virginities are made for summer. Well, they're destroyed in the summer. So I was going to this... I don't even know what to call it. It was like Outward Bound. You know what Outward Bound is?
Yeah. That's for bad
like,
kids.
Like, no, it's not for bad kids. You just like do a lot of outdoorsy shit.
Okay.
So I was doing this like outdoorsy, like kind of teen tour type thing, but in Israel. Mm. And I was doing it through a Canadian group out of Toronto. Cause all my cousins were in Toronto and I had gone to summer camp in Toronto. So all of my like closest friends were Canadian. So I did this, I don't even know what it was called, like Outward Bound to Israel kind of thing. And I got there the day before, because the flight was on a Saturday. I got there on a Friday. My parents drove me. We were staying at my cousin's house. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to go out with all of my friends. Cause like, you know, it's summer for my senior year. Everybody's older. Some people drive. So my friend Beth picks me up. And we go out. It's like me, Beth, Stephanie, Jordan, the guy who I lost my virginity to. This guy, Alushnik. I can't remember what his real name was, but they used to call him Alushnik.
Alushnik.
And then Beth's boyfriend, Andrew. So we all go out. We go out in Yorkville or Yorkdale, some like fun part of Toronto. And then we're like, oh, let's go back to Alushnik's grandmother's apartment. She's out of town. So we all go back. Everybody's hooking up.
Were you drinking?
Jordan and I are in the, no. Jordan and I was never much of a drinker. Jordan and I were in the guest bedroom. There was a sofa of like a pullout sofa. So we opened up the pullout sofa, no sheets, bare mattress. I was like, we need to have sex. And he was like, what?
What made
and
you
he was
say
like,
that?
You're
Were you
a
like
virgin.
The
I was
last
like,
of your friends?
Because I was like, I got to get this over yeah. with. I got to get this. I wasn't the last of my friends. Like people had it. But I was just like, I was always so curious about sex. Like I was just always really interested in sex. Like if online porn would have been a thing when I was a kid, I mean, it was a little bit, but nothing crazy. I would have been.
You have the face.
Balls to
you
the
have
wall.
The if face it, of a curious kid. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if it's the glasses, but
I was.
It, but you have like curious energy.
Even still,
the glasses.
Do I still look curious?
The glasses enhance it.
The glasses make me look more curious. I was a very why? That's the kid I was. But I was always, you know, like my mom was a nudist, so it's like I always saw nudity. It wasn't like, you know, and it's like my mom told me about sex when I was a kid. She's a doctor. She didn't really fucking care. She was like, it's a pussy. It's a dick that people.
What was her
they
talk?
Go in,
was she just
comes.
Like, should we have the talk?
No, it wasn't. It was like, I just knew about it. It wasn't like
my
a,
mom,
it wasn't like a sit down formal
to tell
talk.
You?
Was,
my mom
yes,
sat down.
Yes.
And my mom
I
quickly
hear it.
Just sat me down. She goes, Chels, should we talk about the birds and the bees? I was like, shut up, mom. And she was like, okay. And that was it.
You're like, mom, I'm a slut. I know. You're having this conversation way too late, mom.
I was like, I'm 30.
That's a really funny joke. You know, when my mom gave me the birds and the bees talk last week, I was like, this is late.
That's funny. Okay, so you're with Jordan in the guest room.
Yeah, I mean, it's some, everybody got it. We're Jordan in the guest room. I was like, we're doing it. And he was like, whoa, you're a virgin. I was like, I don't care. I got to get rid of this. It's got to go. Mm. Like, I need to know what's going on. I need to know what sex is, what the big deal is. He's like, okay. So he gets a condom. And at that time I'm chewing a piece of gum. So I just take the piece of gum and like put it on the mattress, on the side of the mattress, like the edge of the bed. I have no idea why. And we start having sex and I'm like, ow, this hurts. I was like, Jordan, this hurts so bad. And he's like, all right, then let's stop. I'm like, no, I'm like, you need to persevere. And he's like, okay. He's like this. I feel really bad. I was like, don't feel bad. I was like, we need to get this over with. And I literally like forced him to have sex with me.
Was there any foreplay?
And then Yeah, I think so.
Was it in your ass?
But it was just like, you
was
know,
it in
like,
your ass and you thought it was?
No, oh, it was in.
That happened to no, someone no, no.
It
I
was
know.
In my, it was. It,
oh, Jessica
I was
Wellington.
Just so tight. Oh, Jessica Wellington thought she was losing her virginity and she was really getting butt fucked.
Yeah, she didn't realize.
That's a wild story.
And it's so
that
fitting
is a wild
for her.
Story.
Like that would
so
be
fitting.
Her.
By the way, she's lost so much
she
weight.
Looked, I know.
She looks
she's so horny. She's so horny.
So horny. You lose
that
weight
that
and
happens.
You're just like, give
that
me.
Happens. That happens.
She's like, I've. Oh, tell 1,000%.
She lost,
1,000%.
She
you undergo
lost
a transformation
like
where you hot up.
Yeah. If you lose 100 pounds, you're only wearing leopard. But for her, it's cheetah. Do you know what I mean? It's like cheetah, not leopard.
I mean, I have nothing but respect and applaud for
totally.
That woman. Every
yeah,
time I see
great.
Her, she just did a video where she's like, I'm doing hot girl shit. And I was like, I love you so much. And
it's
the
great.
Nails. First of all, when I first met Jessica, I thought she was gay. She had very gay vibes.
Totally.
And then I got to know her and I knew she wasn't gay. But like, I for sure thought she was
me
gay.
Too.
But I remember the first time I saw her do stand up, I was like, oh, you're so funny. I was like,
she is
it
funny.
Was just like, she was so good. Mm-hmm. She's really funny. Anywho, so Jordan and I have sex. We finish, he, you know, dismounts. And then he sits on the edge of the bed and he sat in my gum. Ben was like Middle Eastern. Had a really hairy ass.
So you had to get peanut
my
butter.
My gum was caught. No, I just ripped it right off. Like I was waxing his ass. Yeah.
No.
And then I, you know,
remember
lost my
when
and
you
then,
got.
And then the next
that's
morning.
Gross.
Remember
you
like,
have
it was
to
so
put
funny.
Peanut butter
and then the next
or
morning,
an ice cube on the hair that had the gum.
No, I know that's how you do it, but I've never done that. I just rip it. But the next morning I flew to Israel and I was on a teen tour with my friends, Stephanie Vovis and Beth Wassermall and Corinne Greenspan, still friends with all these girls. We had the best time on this trip to Israel. We hooked up with like every man in Israel. I was like the horniest of the teen tour.
Wow.
No question about it. Everybody on the teen tour gave me the nickname of Dirt.
Ew.
Because that's how many people I hooked up with.
Dirt?
I was making out with like the entire dirt. I was literally making out. No, I wasn't having sex with anybody. I was just making out and kissing every man in Israel.
Wow.
Because at the time when I was in high school, I would do so many sports like during the year and during the summers. I was outside so often that my hair was blonde. Like that's how much time I spent in the sun that I just had this naturally like bleachy blonde.
We all
kind
had
of hair.
Blonde hair in high school, you know?
Yeah, because we were always outside and then we always put sun in.
Yes.
Do you remember sun in and just spraying hydrogen peroxide and then going in the sun
it
and
worked
you're like, I'm
really
a natural
well.
Blonde. Yeah, totally, 1,000%. So I was blonde hair, blue eyes, super tan. And in Israel, it's like, you're a blonde haired, blue eyed Jew. You're like a rare commodity.
Ooh.
So I was like killing the game.
Hot. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Did your cherry get popped? Remember we were talking about that?
No, it didn't. Here's what happened. End of that. So I get back from Israel. I'm like, I'm the shit. I'm the coolest girl ever. My mom had a pharmaceutical meeting in Alaska, in Alyeska, Alaska. And there was this doctor's son who was also on the pharmaceutical trip. This guy, Ryan, I can't remember what his last name is. And he and I were like just the horniest kids. And we are like going all over this resort in Alyeska, like hooking up everywhere, like in a hot tub, in the dry sauna, like everywhere we possibly could. And then the hotel was under construction. And there was an area where you couldn't go in, but he and I snuck in and we found like this abandoned bathroom that was under construction. And we went into the handicap stall of this bathroom that was under construction. And he was just like fingering me in the bathroom. And I think he definitely broke my cherry. Cause all of a sudden he's like, there's blood. I was like,
wait, so
keep
it was
going.
From fingering?
It was from
that's
fingering.
What happened to me.
Head. And then so funny, so weird. It is so weird. And it just looked like a crime scene for real.
I know. Can I?
I was like, oh no.
I only asked you to tell you my story.
Okay. Obviously go. Well, wait, can I give you the end of it?
Sorry.
About 5 years ago when I was doing Funny Girls, he saw me on TV and then reached out to me and he was like, hey, I saw you on this TV show. I don't know if you remember me, but like we hooked up in a bathroom in Alaska. I was like, yeah, I fucking remember you.
That's so cute. That's funny. Did that feel good?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I
was like, oh, and then by the way, I saw him again on another pharmaceutical like trip because my mom was in this like small crew of like oncologists that all like knew each other. And then I saw him the next summer and he fucking ignored me.
Dick.
Whatever, Ryan. Huh. And so when he was like, do you remember me? I was like, yeah, you ignored me the next summer when we were you in said that? Fucking wherever the next. Yeah.
Only you would hold a 30-year grudge. Or however, you mean 20, however the fuck 20, long it
whatever
was.
Whatever my fake age is.
Yeah. That's so funny that you remember that detail.
Okay, wait. So tell me about your cherry popping. Tell me about you losing your virginity and you getting your cherry popped.
Okay, I've told my losing my virginity story a number of times, but just to quickly say, I was at a triple keg party. It was my brother's best friend at the time. He was a pale dinosaur named Andy. He looked like a dinosaur and he was very, very pale, like transparent. And I really liked him and we had hooked up a couple times, like, you know, head and all that kind of stuff. And then, we went upstairs at his party. He lived in like a huge mansion. Of course, my style. I'm kidding. And
I mean, if Chelsea's losing anything anywhere, it's in a mansion.
You, I mean, like,
there's got to be multiple rooms that require a daily housekeeper.
If I didn't get my virginity lost in a mansion, I wouldn't. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And if I didn't get my virginity lost on a pullout sofa with no sheets in a grandma's apartment in Toronto at 1 a.m., never happened.
Anyways, so we're hooking up in the bed, and I still have all my clothes on, which was a pink silk skirt from Abercrombie and like a blue tank top. I left all my clothes on. He's like,
everything about a pink Abercrombie skirt says finger blast.
I know. And then I was like, you're taking my, oh, and he put on the Paris Hilton sex tape in the background. So that was on the whole time while I was getting my virginity taken. And I was so uncomfortable by that.
Chelsea, this is so tragic.
It couldn't have been less romantic. And then he goes, can you take off your clothes? Because like he just took my underwear off and I was still wearing my skirt. And I was like, okay. He was so horrible. And then while it was happening, I go, you're taking my virginity right now. And he goes, no, I'm not. And I was just like, oh, okay. It was horrible. So then he like, I don't think he comes.
Oh my God, Chelsea, this is so awful.
It was horrible. So then get this. This is the worst part. He walks out to like go to the bathroom. He comes back in. I'm waiting for him on the bed. I think he's going to like make me his girlfriend or something. And he goes, you're still here. That stuck with me my entire life. You're still here.
Oh my.
It was horrible.
God.
It was horrible.
I can't wait for you to be on a TV show. He sees you and then calls you up and he's like, hey, you remember me? I'm telling you.
I know.
It is the only reason we need to
That's
be successful.
That's why I said, did it feel good? Because I'm still waiting for some of that to come back to me. So, and then the finger.
I'll be honest. It didn't not feel good, but it wasn't like, I had already been on TV at that point. I was like, TV feels way better.
So the fingering story, I thought that my cherry got popped when my virginity got taken. So I'm at another keg party. And
you're like, oh, I didn't lose my virginity. I lost my dignity. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the time I lost my virginity was.
Yeah. So then we're at this keg party and we're drinking absinthe and we're like doing it like in the whole, we have like a bottle of absinthe and we're doing the whole thing with like the sugar cube. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you have to hold a sugar cube over a spoon.
Uh-huh.
And pour. So I'm like, I'm all in this like dreamlike state, you know, from the absinthe. What are you Googling? I've never had absinthe during my fingering story.
I'm making a note because I said something that I liked for a joke. So
the
I'm
dignity thing.
On it.
That's my
dignity
story.
Dignity versus virginity.
Okay. I hear you typing. You're typing.
It's like what my therapist did, and that's why I broke up with her.
Yeah.
I was like, my dad died, and she was like, mm-hmm. I heard a text come in and she was like typing. I was like, bitch, please. I know I need to call that new therapist.
I told her today you were going to call her. And anyways,
so you're drinking absinthe.
So I'm drinking
like
absinthe.
It's fucking the French Revolution.
Exactly. So me and him walk off and he starts like fingering me in a chair. There's like a chair in the middle of this like apartment complex outdoors for some reason. And I'm wearing a pink tank top from Abercrombie this time. And so you can tell
Chelsea,
I'm 16 for both stories. And then all of a sudden he pulls his hand out like this and it's covered in blood. And my tank top is covered in blood. Crime scene.
I thought he was going to, I thought this is what you were going to describe. He takes his hand out and he just wipes it on your shirt. But he already wiped
his shirt is covered in blood, like dripping down his wrist. Like my shirt. He's like, oh, what is this? And I was like, I think you popped my cherry. Like, and he was like, oh, gross. And like, didn't talk to me again. And I was like, everyone hated me.
Chelsea! Oh my God, no wonder you have so many issues. So like, not one sexual experience. Yeah, of course you got into stripping. My God.
I know, I wasn't set up for
you success. Had no choice. You're like, I lost my virginity to a guy who couldn't fucking care about me at all.
Yeah.
And another guy I lost my hymen to, and he was like, you're disgusting, get lost.
Yeah. You know what else I was thinking? Like, I really like could not hit it off with a single guy in high school. Like, I really had all of these like big high school crushes, and one guy in particular, like I like loved him. And for some reason, he just like didn't love me back. And like a girlfriend of mine happened to have a drink with him, and I wanted to be like, can you ask him why he didn't like me? But like, she was like, it's not appropriate to ask because of a whole other situation. It just like was bad timing, but like, cause of something going on in his life. But like, I want to be like, what was so wrong about me? You know, isn't that crazy?
I felt the same way. I still feel that from high school, from growing up, like in my high school, no guys liked me. No guys paid attention to me. But when I went to summer camp every summer, I was like, everybody at summer camp loved me. I was like, cool. What are you doing? What happened?
Okay. Sorry. My microphone fell out. Sorry for the noise on that end. Go on.
It's okay. I had the same experience in high school. Boys didn't like me, and I couldn't figure out why, because every time I went to summer camp during the summer, I was like popular, cool, guys liked me, like I had boyfriends, and then I'd get back to, you know, Michigan and like nothing, no one. And I was like, always like, but wait, like everybody. And then I realized it's because I'm Jewish.
What?
And everybody
because
in my high
you're
school,
Jewish, everybody, what does that have anything to do with it?
Because I was always, I went to, I was like one of like very few Jewish kids in my school. And I was always just very loud and weird and outspoken. And then when I got to summer camp, everybody was like, oh, loud, weird, outspoken, super fun. Oh, you're Jewish. It was just because I went to a Jewish summer camp and everybody was just like me. And then I would go back to like the Goyim and they'd be like, you're a lot, you know?
Yeah. I think for me,
I was a lot. I was always a lot. But like, what were you?
I was a druggie. I was a druggie. I was always stoned and I was really, really skinny. So like, I was like the drunk who like was always passive. I think I was gross and I was slutty. Like I would make out with everyone. So I think there was just like nothing pure about me.
It's so funny because I would think all of that would make you really popular.
I don't know. But it's so, this weird thing happened where I was very,
did you look like you do now? Like, were you always like a striking person?
Well, okay.
I know you don't
so
necessarily perceive yourself as striking, but you're striking.
Thank you. So I was severely anorexic in 9th grade. Mm-hmm. I was really, really skinny.
All right, don't brag. Lots of self-control early on. We get it.
I was 80 pounds and very skinny.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
But too skinny. And I got sent away.
How tall were you?
5'7". And then,
oh my God, you went to anorexic camp?
I was so skinny. And then I went to boarding school in Switzerland and the food was so good there.
Lucerne? What was the name of the boarding school?
It was in Lugano, the American school in Switzerland, the Italian section.
Okay.
And I gained weight there and I got a tan and I colored. So I literally went there looking like a crackhead.
By the way, who goes to Switzerland and gets a tan?
Because I was there. I came back in the summer and we were on Lake Lugano and I just came back looking healthy. Like I had color in my face, you know? And literally my hair was parted to a different side. I had colored it like lighter. Like I just,
oh, you had a renaissance.
I gained like probably like 15 pounds or something. And I came back and I had style and culture and I just like was a different person. And then everyone was like, I knew you were hot. And like, it kind of hurt my feelings. Like, this thing happened where, like, literally I saw two guys high five and one of them said, I told you she was going to be hot. And they're like, I told you. And they're like, I called it. But, like, it was like a thing where it was like they were like, it was like a thing for them. Like, dude, I fucking told you she was going to be. But it just made me feel like so weird. Do you know what I mean?
I can understand that. Like, right now in hindsight, I'm like, what a great story of like redemption. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that was probably like tough on your psyche when you were a kid. Cause like your sense of self is tied so much to what your peers think of you when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, before you left Switzerland, you had a very like low sense of self. And then all of a sudden you get back. It's like, in your mind, not that much has probably changed because you went through the transition yourself. And when you're changing, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily see it. And then you get back and everybody holds up this mirror and they're like, look how much you've changed. It, and it's like, weird. That fucks with your head.
It did. And it was weird because all of a sudden, like, I had like new friends, like more like the hot girls wanted me to hang out with them. And like, I went from hanging out with like the druggies to like the hot popular girls. And basically I was just smoking blunts in a different car, you know? And
yeah, I was just going to say, were the hot girls not doing drugs?
Well,
they were just doing drugs in nicer cars and nicer apartments in New York City.
Totally. And it was like this weird switch. And I just felt like I never caught up with it, you know? Like, I still feel like, I don't know, like, I don't, when people like comment on saying I'm like attractive or something, it makes me feel uncomfortable because I still feel like the girl in ninth grade, you know?
I see. I understand that. I still have like, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm a goddess. But like, there's moments where people will be like, you're so like, I can't remember who said it to me. They're like, oh, you're known as a hot girl in comedy. And I was like, I'm known as a hot girl in comedy. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, what? And I was like, yes, I'm known as a hot girl in comedy. That's crazy.
That's so funny.
It was like the best day of my life. I was like, oh my God, I've always only wanted to be. And it's sad. I mean, I do realize how like sad it is that like my preoccupation with like, I was such a funny, awkward looking kid. It's like, I was always really obsessed with like wanting my friend Tracy, who was the horse girl. She's like, no, it was always really cool about you in high school. You didn't care what anybody thought. And I was like, what did people think? Like, what?
You're like,
you know, it's like,
did I look like that? Or did I just act like
Scout Derwood actually has a joke. And she's like, you didn't care what people were thinking. And like, she's like, well, what were they thinking? But like, literally I was like, well, what are they thinking? Like, what? I didn't remember. And it was funny to me because I was like, oh, you thought I didn't care? Oh, I fucking cared.
Yeah.
I cared so badly what people thought, but I was just like, push it down. Pretend like you don't care.
Cared.
Don't let anyone see. Everybody cared. And mine was to a point where I was like, in hindsight, I look back at it and it like makes me sad genuinely because I feel like I would be a different person had I not felt that. And it's not like I grew up with this mom who was like, beauty and image. I mean, image did matter to my mom because she was always like, you have to dress right and act right. But it wasn't like, you know, how attractive you were determined anything. My mom was a self-made woman. She was like, be fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom came from fucking nothing and put herself through college and medical school at a time when women were not doctors.
Wow.
So it's like, I had this mom who like showed me that like, nothing comes without hard work. You work your fucking ass off. No one's handing you anything, especially as a woman. So it's never how you looked was never a value. But it's like, I don't know where it happened that I became so popularity and what people thought of me. And then eventually I was just like, I don't fucking care. I was like, I'm just weird and loud. And then I got to college and I was like, oh, cool. I can just disappear and just be myself. And like, I went to college, I made one friend and then her and I just would like, I had other friends, but like my best friend, Jill, she and I just we'd moved to the graduate half of campus in our own apartment in our own little world. And it was like, I just stopped caring. Cause I was like, none of it fucking matters.
I have this thing,
but I think maybe deep down I always did.
Yeah. I have this thing where I want to get back to like, when I was in elementary school and middle school, like before eighth grade, like I really did not give a fuck. Like I did not give, like, actually I'd say up until ninth
I can
grade,
believe that. I can believe that about you for 1,000%.
I was like, I just felt like, I feel like I was so cool. Like, to me, it was my idea of cool because I just didn't care what anyone thought. Like, I truly did not, like, they were over there. I was over here. Like, I did my thing. Like, I just had a lot of fun. Like, I wasn't concerned with, like, any of that shit. Like, it just wasn't in my peripheral. And, like, I feel like I'm now, as an adult, I'm always trying to get back to that place and try to, like, figure out how I can get back to that place of, like, not giving a fuck, like, my younger, cooler self.
It's so interesting you say that because I journaled about that a few weeks ago. I was like, there was a time in my life where, you know, it's like you and I are both 12-step people. And like the whole idea of like other people's opinions of you are none of your business. Mm-hmm. And like, that is such a deep message to me. And it's like, I always think like, when was there a time that whatever someone's opinion of me meant nothing. It just didn't. It was inconsequential in every single way. And it really was, you know, when you're, it was even younger for me than like middle school, because middle school, it got like weird for me. But yeah, there was a period of time where it was like, it just didn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want to get back to that. I was writing about that. You know, my friend Tezra, have you met her before? Her daughter's my goddaughter.
No, I know who she is. Speaking of her.
Yeah. So Tezra in high school, we met and she was the year ahead of me. And I was always so scared of her. She was like this most beautiful, like she's Black and Arab. She's just stunning. And she would walk through the hallways. She was very tall. She was 6 feet tall. And she looked like Naomi fucking Campbell walking through the hallway. She had her head held high and she just walked and looked straight ahead. Didn't look at anybody. Didn't fucking care. And everybody was like, Tezra, she's the most beautiful girl in the school. And I remember becoming friends with her because we played softball together. And I remember at one point she was like, bitch, you're dope. Like, you're fucking awesome. You better just fucking love yourself because you're just amazing. And she was the first person in my life who really taught me to radically love myself. Like, the concept of radical self-love, I learned that from her. It didn't have that name, but she was that person in my life. She was that person who was like, this is all you have. And what you have is fucking amazing. So just love it.
Wow.
And I'm so grateful that that person came into my life because I don't know what I would have been. And yes, I still had like that crippling need for like love and acceptance. But she changed my fucking life.
That's amazing.
It's something that I have to like kind of like always revisit. Like, how do we get back to that? Mm-hmm. That like natural radical self-love.
Yeah.
It's such a mystery to me.
Well, I feel like it's like when you're a kid, everything is just a lot simpler. It's like, you know, they say kids are really good actors because they don't care, you know, like you can just play and be childlike and all of the worries of the world and all of that kind of stuff. Like maybe your brain isn't even developed to think about that yet. You're still in that like play state. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's the whole concept of like ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. Like not like kids are dumb, but they don't know. They're not is informed.
I do prefer to subscribe to ignorance is bliss kind of mindset for my life.
I mean, it really is. It's so funny. Cause I remember earlier today when I was like, Chelsea, I was like, is there any way we can do this another time? Because of the news, there's so much crazy shit going on. And you're like, really? Like what? Okay. And I was like, wait, you aren't watching the news. And you basically had that mindset of like, listen, it's so overwhelming to me and so daunting what goes on that you are in a position where you're just like, listen, I know this is too much for me. So I'm just going to step back from it and not, you know, put myself into it at all. And like that's a great choice for yourself. Of course, me, I'm just sitting here like fucking mentally cutting myself watching the news.
I forgot what was going on, honestly, when this podcast started. I was reading tweets and looking up stuff when I was at the dog park right before this, but I like had to shut it out of my brain because, well, when Trump got elected originally, I thought Hillary was going to win.
I mean 1,000%.
I think a lot of people was hoping she was gonna win. I like really fell in love with the idea.
It wasn't even a hoping. I was like, Hillary's gonna win.
I know, and like we were also excited.
I truly thought she was gonna win.
Yeah, and like the excitement of the idea of a female president, and like I loved Bill Clinton. I don't know enough about politics. I know a lot of people don't like Hillary Clinton, but like it was just like, oh, I know her. Like that's fun. Like I love that, you know, like
yeah.
I love how you squinted your eyes. You could see how little I know about politics.
I was squinting just because I feel like I was putting you into focus because my brain was like, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, go on.
So I remember, you know, I was working at the Comedy Store when we found out who won. And when we, whatever it's called, inauguration or what's it called? The day when you find out who wins
president. That's the election day, but inauguration is when.
Maybe it was election day.
Election day is when we found out that Trump won.
Okay, so.
Election day was traumatic.
Yeah, so it was election day. And I remember it was just like extremely, extremely traumatic and dramatic. And for a week straight on social media, like, do you remember what it was like when he won? How everyone like felt like literally it was going to be like, it was like worse than how everyone feels about the pandemic. Like it felt like,
yeah, it felt apocalyptic. It was like, wait, you mean a reality TV star just won the presidency over Hillary Clinton, who's a seasoned veteran in politics? Crazy.
Yeah, it felt so apocalyptic. And I remember I was glued to my phone for that first week. Glued. And there was it was so emotional. Same. So emotionally draining. So, you know, everything on social media, like it was just chaos. And it really fucked me up. And I was like, I have to create a personal boundary for myself where I can't subscribe to this and I can't play this game and I can't read the news every 5 seconds. And ever since then, I've really like pulled out a big amount from like I feel like in general news just like really overwhelms me. And it's not like I like live on an island. I know what's going on. I look at Twitter every day. I don't really go on like CNN or whatever news source daily anymore because I feel like if anything happens that I need to know about, I'll hear about it. I'll click on an article. Yeah. Someone will send it to me if there's anything I have to know. But like, the day-to-day stuff, like I don't like make a point to not read all of the coronavirus shit. Of course, like I will read articles when things happen and learn and educate myself, but for a daily thing, like I just can't do it. And like with what happened today, like when you're like, oh my God, like the world is ending kind of thing, I'm like, what are we gonna do? Like they'll handle that over there.
Yeah, it's very much like it's out of sight, out of mind, because is there anything we can do on a macro level? Yes. You know, show up, vote, elect people who should be in office, blah, blah, blah. But on a day-to-day micro level, there's literally nothing we can do.
And then, so when I'm, so then I'm like, I have to step back because it's just unhealthy for me. Yeah. That's just my view.
It definitely makes me a little crazy. It's for me, it's like, what's going on? I'm looking over at the TV right now. For what's going on right now, it is, do I understand what's going on? Not completely.
What's the status update?
But it's, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's just, it looks like mayhem, but it really is one of those things where it's like, I'm literally watching. There's a man in the Capitol with a Confederate flag. There is a man, like one of Trump's supporters, sitting at the desk of a congressman with his feet up and his feet on the table. To me, it's just like, this is a fucking train wreck. Like there are congressmen on the ground wearing plastic bags on their face because they're afraid they're going to start tear gassing. There is a person sitting at the desk of Nancy Pelosi, like in a face mask and whatever. It's craziness. Yeah,
it's like the same few images.
This is truly apocalyptic. It's crazy. Like if you thought the day Trump was elected was apocalyptic, this is unfucking real.
Yeah.
We thought 2020 was crazy. 2021, I genuinely fear for the well-being of Biden and Harris.
Really?
Genuinely. I truly believe someone will try to assassinate them.
You think Trump supporters?
Based on how crazy Trump, 1,000%. If they're willing to do this to the state capitol, they are climbing the building. They are climbing the outside of the state capitol, breaking the windows and going in.
How did they get so crazy?
It's out of a movie.
How did they get so crazy? Like, how did they become such?
Because he radicalized them. Trump radicalized them. 1,000% Trump radicalized them.
What does that mean?
There was
Like encouraged?
He empowered them. He empowered them. He encouraged them. He stoked the fire. It wasn't just, you're my people. It's, you're my people. It's us versus them. It's us. He kept reinforcing the us versus them mentality. And that is why the country is more divided than ever. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, Obama was, you know, a lot of the people in the country didn't like him, but he never turned his back on the people who didn't like him. He was like, okay, yeah, there's people who don't like him, but I am a president. I represent all people. And Trump was like, I don't represent all people. The people who support me, those are the people I represent. Everyone else, you can fucking go kick rocks.
So he like divided everything.
And that's, yes, he divided everybody in a very radical way. Not just divide, it's like, yes, there's always been Democrats and Republicans. There's always been two parties. And that is the way our democracy works at its best, is a two-party system where it's checks and balances. And he took that away. And it's just kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
It's insane. And today Trump turned on Pence. Whatever. Let's not get into politics. Let's get back to the
day.
Okay.
Let's wrap up on a talk about regional bread.
About regional bread. Oh.
Wait, can I say that was one of the funniest
What was my night?
That was one of the funniest things you have ever said in our friendship.
What did I say exactly again? I don't even remember.
Okay, so we were talking about bread, how we both love bread. Bread
love,
connoisseurs.
Love. By the way, if you do not like bread, what is wrong with you?
And we were talking about how everyone has different bread growing up, depending upon where you live.
Oh, yeah.
And then Nicole said there's regional breads. And just that concept is so funny, but it's true. Talk us through.
Yeah, like on the West Coast, sourdough. West Coast, sourdough. East Coast, like I'd say
Italian
probably
and
like
French
wheat
bread.
Italian and French bread, but those are still Italian and French. Rye is a very Jewish, bread. And then you get to, but then there's two kinds of rye. There's seedless rye, and then there's rye with caraway seeds in it. Caraway seeds, the terrorists of bread. Then you get to the South. It's like
cornbread
and like more like husky breads, you know? And then, you know, what is it in Canada?
Maple.
Potato bread. Maple I don't know. Bread. But, Hawaii,
taro,
Hawaiian
taro.
Bread.
No, in Hawaii, it's taro.
Taro.
Yeah.
Taro bread.
And sweet Hawaiian breads.
Yeah.
And
so
the
it's
South
like potato
is
breads.
Also probably sweet breads. Because sweet bread
sweet
is
breads,
a whole other.
Totally.
Yeah.
As a whole other thing. So it's like, yeah, you go to different, like in Mexico, tortillas.
Where does wheat
you know,
land? Where are we landing? And, in Middle America is just white bread.
White, like,
but it's true, like regional
white
Wonder Bread.
India, naan.
It's crazy.
In Ethiopia, injera. Oh,
guys,
so good. I love it.
Guys, are you seeing yes, we've like
the regional breads.
Regional breads.
I love regional breads. So this is what we were thinking, you guys. If Chelsea and I started a podcast called Regional Breads.
No, it's not a podcast. It's a fucking pop up. It's a one video.
It's a pop-up.
Regional
Breads will be a video series on YouTube.
A video series.
Okay, guys, listen. Chelsea and I want to do a video where we go to popular bread spots around Los Angeles. We'll go to different restaurants. You know, we'll go to like Little Ethiopia. We'll go to Little Italy. There's no Little Italy because LA sucks. So we'll go to different restaurants. We'll, you know, go to a bakery. We'll try different things. Would you guys be interested in a regional breads series, like a mini series?
Tweet at Nicole and I, hashtag regional bread series.
Hashtag regional breads. Just no. Hashtag regional breads. We're getting this hashtag started. The name of this podcast is going to be Regional Breads. Even though I talked about dildos and we talked about virginity and hymen, I think calling it Regional Breads
is what
it needs to be called.
What's your favorite?
I also do personal organizing here in Los Angeles. Please hire me if you need someone to organize
your
life.
What's your favorite bread? What's your favorite bread? You know what mine is?
I do love a seedless rye.
My favorite bread, paper money. Just kidding. Sorry. No, I think I like sourdough too.
I love sourdough. Sourdough's incredible. I love a baguette. Ugh. How can you not love a baguette?
That's all I had in my house growing up. We always had French bread.
Croissant?
That
the French and bread?
Yeah.
Nobody does
French,
it better.
Yeah. French is best. Croissant?
Phyllo dough? A crispy phyllo dough on a pastry? Ugh.
That's good. Croissants is like, I think my number one like ingested breakfast, like over my lifetime.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
Croissant over the course of my life, like the biggest my thing. And like a good croissant versus, I don't have a bad croissant. I would never have a supermarket.
Nope.
I will never have a supermarket croissant. I will only have a croissant from a bakery, and I'm very spoiled.
I'll slum it. Like, then I don't give a fuck.
You're not a croissant,
like, I just want that
girl.
I am, but listen, here's what I do with a shitty croissant. If you put enough butter, Chelsea, if you put enough butter on anything, it will be delicious.
Jesus. Detroit.
I love butter, by the way.
Love.
Detroit.
Love.
The girl from Detroit has serious opinions about croissants.
That was like some bad Girls Club shit. Remember that show?
Have you ever been to Paper or Plastic on? Oh,
no, but I know.
It's a little cafe.
I know of it.
Their croissant.
I like Sweet Lady Jane.
Bangin'.
Sweet Lady Jane.
Sweet Lady Jane. So good. Blue Bottle. They have a whole wheat pretzel croissant.
No.
Unfucking real. Chelsea?
Mm-mm.
If you thought your pussy got wet when your hymen broke, you don't even know.
I want butter or chocolate. That's it.
Chelsea, I'm going to take you to Blue Bottle and I'm going to ruin your life.
You know what's really good at Blue Bottle? The avocado toast. It's really good there.
I mean, I refuse to pay for avocado toast. Do I love it? Yes. If someone else is buying, will I take it? Absolutely. Will I pay for it on my own? No fucking chance.
I make a good one.
No chance.
Do you
put an egg on it?
No.
Okay, fine. Wine me, dine me, 69 me. Give me that fucking avocado toast, boo.
Okay. And do you want to end?
I'm here for it.
Let's get some organization tips before you go.
Organization tips. You cannot do it on your own. Hire me.
Uh-huh. But like, how do you go about, like, we have so much shit. We don't have space. We don't have cabinet space.
There's two kinds of organizing makeovers I do. Are you on a budget or not?
Yes.
I just did my goddaughter's apartment. She's not on a budget. Of course, I didn't charge her for it. But she only had about $100 to spare on like buying organizing stuff. So we had to work with what she had. So what I do is every time I get over to your place, I'm like, what do you have? What can we get? How much do I have to work with? And based on what sort of organizing devices you have, we'll determine how fucking pretty and polished it's going to be. If you watched the home edit,
I've seen it.
They're doing these incredible makeovers. Yeah. They have so much fucking money to buy all these things to make everything look really nice.
It's expensive. Great. All that shit is so expensive.
So for me, I'm always like, yeah, bitch, you give me a client who has no budget, I'll make her house look like the goddamn Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
You give me somebody who has a $100 budget and I'll show you what's up. I guarantee I can organize a space on a lower budget better than these girls because I am better at being poor.
I thought you were just going to go, because I am better. I was like,
I am better, period. But I am better at being poor. Yeah. If you've got all your fucking fancy tools, good for you.
If you came over and opened up a cabinet in any part of our apartment, I would be so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I'd feel like you were reading my diary.
Oh, God. Trust me, Chelsea. I have seen horrible things.
Really?
And there is nothing that will shock me.
Okay.
I've seen unbelievable places. Nothing shocks me at this point. But I genuinely, genuinely really love doing it. I love it. Is,
wow.
Maybe it's because I have OCD and when I'm organizing, I go to the Zen place, but I have this rule that I do not organize your space unless you are there when I start.
I would hope.
Unless you are accessible. I will never, because like they show these home edit videos where they're like, all right, leave your house for 2 days and then come back. No.
It's a TV show.
You are there.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. No, I'm not.
They're like, okay.
Not organizing your space. Because I'd be like,
I'm throwing shit away. I know.
Yes, you have 20,000 square feet to organize shit. Yeah, of course I'll find a place for everything. Mm-hmm. Organize a 1,000 square foot apartment where two people are living with a dog and it's one bedroom.
Yeah.
let me see you organize that. So it's the sort of thing where it's like, if I come over to your place, I would insist that you throw things away. I would absolutely insist and make you throw. Here's my thing about throwing things away.
That's what I was going to ask.
I go, when was the last time you used this? If you can't tell me it's been within a year, I will throw it in the trash can. Or if you don't have a really good reason for it. For example, in my closet, I have a lot of stuff I haven't worn in probably 2 years. Because I go on a lot of auditions, that's me manifesting. I need weird different audition clothes. Yeah. If I'm going in for like the, what I wear on a day-to-day basis is not, you know, mom in the Midwest. So I have mom in the Midwest, you know, mother of three Midwest clothes, you know, I have lots of things that I would never wear on my own, but for an audition I would.
Yeah.
So there's certain things I just, do I want them in my closet? No, but I'm not going to go out and get them every time I have an audition.
What about clothes that you don't fit into anymore, like skinny clothes that
realistically
like,
I'll let you keep two skinny things.
Yeah, but like
I'll let you keep some things, but I'm
like, I know in my heart I'm not gonna fit into these again. But
to you, what I would do with you is I would be like, how long ago were you this thin?
A year ago.
Before the pandemic, I would say hold on to two pairs of skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Otherwise, get rid of the rest of the skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Tell me which skinny jeans you wore the most. Like, I remember you had a pair of high-waisted black Madewell button up the front jeans. I need those. I looked for those because I need them in a tall. Madewell, I can't wear. I have to get the tall length. They were sold out everywhere. I shit you not. I set an alert on my computer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the website Shop Style, you can set an alert for things. As soon as they came back into stock, I got it immediately.
And do you wear them?
I mean, I'm not going anywhere, but yeah, when I leave the house, I wear them. They're the best jeans. They're incredible. Those look so good. First of all,
I wear them.
I don't know if your listeners know how good your butt is.
Is it?
Yeah, your figure is phenomenal. Like, Chelsea, it's delicious. You have a great ass.
I don't.
No, Chelsea.
Okay. I've never had a butt.
I would never lie to you. I mean, it's not a Stacia ass, but it's a great ass.
From doing Stacia's class, I did develop more of a butt.
Yeah.
And I know
you have a phenomenal butt.
I didn't know that.
I've got so much butt.
You have a great butt.
I got a lot of butt. But Stacia's ass is like on another fucking
level. It's unreal.
Stacia's body to me is like goals.
Have you seen her?
That's why I like having her as a trainer. What?
Have you seen her pussy?
I've got to see her. I'll see her pussy tonight. I know you told me it's unreal.
It's like, I can't find the words.
Oh, I got to see it. Mine looks like a fucking
wacky waving inflatable.
I mean, mine's fine. Mine's fine. It looks like it's, you know, it knows things. I look like if my pussy were a human on earth, it would be like a wise sage or like a palm reader. Like, you know, like a person who reads tarot on sunset at 2 a.m.
Mine looks like it has like a couple of full passport books. Like it's been stamped a lot.
Yeah. And you hold on to them because you're like the memories.
It's traveled. It's well.
Your pussy looks like it's been to Ibiza. Oh, wild.
I feel like I'm going to see you shortly. Wild. So let's just end this here. Right?
Chelsea, there are very few people on this earth that I love talking to as much as I love
this
talking to
you. This is so fun, but I know I'm going to see you shortly and I need to conserve my energy because I want to have a good time.
Right, conserve our energy. Guys, please tweet at us and let us know if you want us to do regional beds with Chelsea and Nicole. We can also do a pasta series. We can do a food series all the time.
Let's actually do a video food series together. Because
in 1000%.
Because people ask me constantly to do more food stuff. And
I will do food shit with you. I will eat with you anywhere forever and always.
Can we? I'm going to actually, let me just text you after this and we'll talk about
okay.
later.
Cool.
Tell us about your podcast and where we can follow you.
Okay, I have two different podcasts. I have Two Filthy Nerds. It's a podcast that I have Jessica Michelle Singleton. She is also a paid regular at the World Famous Comedy Store. She's an extremely funny comedian. She's one of my favorite comedians. No one makes me laugh as much as her. And we have a podcast where we review different kind of nerd culture things. At the very moment, we're doing Harry Potter. We're starting the seventh book in a week. We've done the whole series. I had never read it before. She's a Harry Potter expert. So she kind of like takes me through it. And I just talk about Ron the whole time and how much I fucking hate him. The other podcast I have is called Love Her Podcast. And where my other podcast is about porn, the Harry Potter podcast is one podcast. And then I have Love Her Pod, which is a porn podcast where I interview different porn stars and I specifically focus on fetish in porn. So yeah,
I love that.
I'm kind of a horny nerd.
I know. And then you're every guy's dream. And then what's your show? Social.
All my socials are Nicole Aimee at NicoleAimee. So yeah, hit me up. I like talking about anything. By the way, I if you write me something on social media and you have a private profile, just know, I don't respond to everybody, but just know I will literally never respond to you if you have a private profile. Okay. I am a public person. You don't get to be a private person who talks to a public person. That's it. That's all. I think it's bullshit that people have private profiles and then they think they can just say shit. Good or bad. Don't have a private profile and think you can talk to people who are putting their entire lives out there for you to be entertained. Go fuck yourself. Okay, that's all.
I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks for coming.